oftentimes on the first Sunday in January, we do what we've just come to know, Testimony Sunday. We're going to do things a little bit different today. Rather than giving, you know, a couple minutes for people to share a testimony or a bit of their story or what God's doing, we want to extend what we've been doing in worship and give some thanksgiving. Psalm 105 says, we enter his courts with thanksgiving in our hearts. We enter God's house, God's presence with praise. And just like Elf says, for those of you who watched it, singing is no different than talking. It's just talking longer and louder and up and down. And so we're going to continue our time of worship with some words of thanksgiving. And so as you consider this past year, for about a minute, we want to leave as much time as we can for as many people as possible, just to give a word of thanksgiving, something you're thankful for. It's a great way to start our new year. So it means you got to be a little bit courageous. It means you got to be a little bit brief. And there's a microphone here and there's a microphone there so that we can hear you. I know some of you may want to sit there and try and shout it out. People won't hear it. Some of you want to stand and shout it out. We still won't hear you. So come on up. And if you can please just say your name first so people know who you are, and then your word of thanksgiving as you consider this past year. Maybe some things God has been doing or has done in your life or church or neighborhood or family. Who's going to be first? Word of thanksgiving. And if you want, while people are up here, we can get a whole bunch more lined up behind and then keep things rolling. All right, Ken, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Ken Weingarten. Is this on? Two things of praise through a serious health issue last year, and God is just healing and continuing to work in my life, and things right now are balancing out, so I just give him all the thanks for that. It's all through him that this is happening, and also thanks for this church and this family. I know there's been a lot of people praying, and it means an awful lot to me. Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
So my name's Rhoda Bowman, and I'd like to just express thanks for the benefits of being in community and being in community here with this body of Christ. The benefits, man, I could spend a lot of time thinking and expressing what those benefits are to me personally, but we're not alone. We have people that understand, maybe that have come through the same things I've come through, and they've interacted with me, and it's been beautiful and appreciated. And I also am really glad that I have opportunities to build community, and we'll see what happens in 2020.
Hi, I'm Angela, and I'm grateful to have our oldest son with us still. This past year, he had a couple of accidents. He broke his leg and broke his neck in September, and he's back to work and healthy, and that's all due to answered prayer. And I want to give a special thank you for Care Group, because they supported us through that, through the weeks while we waited with Adam. And so I thank you for community and support in our church.
I think I don't have to say my name. Everybody knows me.
Oh, no, you got to say your name. There's people who won't know you.
What's my name, Norma?
Martha.
Oh, okay, that's my name, Martha.
Surrogate grandma.
Grandma, abuela.
Abuela. Abuela.
Okay, anyway, I don't know what to say, but I couldn't hold myself. I just want to thank God that he brought me through another year. And I am really thankful for all what the Lord has done for me. Sometimes we want to be discouraged. I'm alone now for 6 years, living by myself. I have my wonderful children close around, And they're very good to me, and friends, and neighbors, sometimes. And one day I thought, what in the world I'm still being around for? And then I started praying. I said, Lord, if you want me around here yet, show me what I can do. And I always say, be careful what you pray for. He has a lot of work. And he has blessed me. And sometimes it's just saying an encouraging word to somebody, even in the parking lot and the store, whatever it is, and God blesses us. What I want to say is, let us be very close to the Lord. And the Lord helps us. And I have nothing else to say than thank you, Lord, for all what you have done for me. And I ask for blessings for the church. I thank you for my church. It's about 20 years now, and I'm going over time, okay? I'm sorry. Forgive me.
Thanks, Martha. Are there some others this morning?
I'm Bonnie, and I have 1,000 things I'm thankful for from 2019, but this little guy right here would be up there at the top. I'm super thankful for this gift from God. There, I went short so you could have extra minutes, Martha.
I'm Debbie Wagler, and being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus, Philippians 1:6. And we've had a significant change in our lives, and we're just so excited to see God working in our lives and bringing us here to you as a community and also closer to our family, and we're feeling very, very blessed, but excited to know that in 2020 God is going to be doing something amazing in my life and through me. I'm anticipating it.
There's some others this morning. Thanks, Debbie.
My name is Isabel. So last year, I think I was the first one up because Jeremy called on me because I had gotten a tattoo. So my tattoo says, Jesus, Savior, King, great I am with broken chains. And one of the reasons why I got this was so that I would have opportunity to share my faith more. And so I'm thanking God for not a week goes by that someone doesn't say, oh, what does your tattoo say? And I always ask them to read it so the name of Jesus comes out of their mouth. And no kidding, I have had how many people ask me what this means and the joy of being able to share who Jesus Christ is and the broken chains and say, this is my life story. I was bound, but now I'm free because of Jesus. So I'm thankful for that.
We're thankful you got a tattoo. Hey, do you have something to be thankful for?
I do. So I'm Susan. So I'm thankful for the Hearing God seminar, which I did twice. But I guess I'm most thankful for God's desire to speak to us and his patience with us to teach us how to listen.
Anything else new? Just per chance.
Yeah, I'm thankful for weddings and a new husband.
Susan got married on the 27th, right? 27th of December. So congratulations to you.
So I'm Bridget, married to that handsome guy right there. I'm not going to say who she is. And even though I've been a lifetime churchgoer, it's taken me this long to figure out that he's actually it. And all I have to do is call upon him. I don't have to figure it out. I don't have to know everything. I just have to call upon him. So I'm really grateful for that. And I'm grateful for the messages that you always give us that are clear and pretty distinct. And you give us homework as well.
Thanks, Bridget. Are there some others this morning?
Good morning. There's a new saying in our house. Men are like tea bags. You can't tell how good they are until they're in hot water. Can't say I've been in hot water this year, but I have sought answers to prayers about some big things and just thinking things through and looking for God's hand and answers on things and situations in my life. And here's a verse that I've really hung on. I wanted to share it with you. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And I've read that, I don't know, probably 100 times this year. And there's no problem being earnest if you're seeking the Lord about something significant. And we all look for wonderful results. But the word that I've hung on so much and pondered over is righteous. And I've come to realize, because when I first read that, it seemed like perfect. If I'm perfect, I'm going to get answers to prayer. And as I've pondered that and even looked it up in the dictionary, I realize it's really not perfection at all, but just in right standing with God. And I think Bridget touched on that. We don't have to work it all out and understand it all. We just have to be with him and in his presence. And for him, that is right standing. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
Hi, I'm Rachel, and I just want to say I'm thankful for my life. I was in a really bad accident in October where I was sideswiped, and it was 2 seconds before I would open my door, and I would have been gone with the guy that hit me. So I was really traumatized by that, and I was going through counseling, and they always tell you, what are you thankful for? What is the positive that you can take out of it? And it's really my life that I get to have with my family and my kids, and that's been huge for me to keep on thinking about that and about learning to think about the positives and what we're grateful for. So I wanted to share that.
Thanks, Rachel. We've got a one per household limit.
So are there rain checks then, or what happened? I'm Randy, so Debbie and I are married, and I'm going to follow along with what she said. I think what God's taught me this past year, and it's a lesson I keep learning, is, you know, just to go where God is working. You know, we can try to keep in step with him as opposed to going ahead of him or being behind, but just keeping kind of look where he's working and keep being led step by step. We always want to know the long-term picture, but it's just one step at a time that he often shows us, and being obedient and seeing then where he leads. And he's done that. And as Deb said, we're looking forward to how he's going to continue to do that in the days ahead. So that's, I'm thankful for that.
So my name is Medardo. I'm thankful for peace. And I think this past year, 2019, there's been a lot of stuff that I've been struggling with personally, and discouraged and just not sure where to go and where I'm headed. And through that, through that time, I've really prayed with God and struggled with him. And even though I don't know all the answers to life's questions, I know that I can trust in God, and he's given me peace over that. So I think, I don't know where God's taking me in 2020 or my family, but I thank God for peace.
My name's Doug, and we found out in October that I had cancer on my chest. A couple of weeks ago, we found out I have 2 more spots on my brain. And it's been a bit of a tough slog at times, but I have to thank God for the peace that he's given Sheila and our family, that he is faithful to us. The medical stuff seems to be moving along good. I thank him for the doctors, that some of the doctors I've had that have really pushed. But the thing that I'm most thankful for, I think, is the church family here. The way you guys have come alongside us has just been amazing. And I can't express my thankfulness for that enough. And that's just God working through you guys. And I do have a very good core of Christian friends from work and many friends from Listowel We literally have hundreds of people praying for me. But I want to express, I'm so thankful for the way you guys have come alongside us, and it means everything to us.
Thanks, Doug. And we'll keep praying. And we will. A few others this morning.
Hi, everybody. My name is Marion, and I just really felt the urge to come up and to say that the mind is an amazing, complicated thing, and I thank God today that He renews it. He takes everything that's in there that's not supposed to be there, and He makes it something much more. And I heard the most amazing thing this morning, and I really had to share it. As many times as we've felt like we've given in to the attacks that have come upon our lives, always remember not to surrender your hope, because that is a part of Jesus that He has given us that should never be taken. We live and breathe because of hope. Thank you.
My name is Jason. First of all, thankful for health. I've had a bit of a struggle last year with my back and still struggling, and that will go for the rest of my life, but thankful for health. And further to that, I'm thankful for authenticity and genuine people that we have here in our church community. That's one thing that's amazing here is everyone's very authentic and genuine Christians, and that really helps and helps everyone be stronger, and it's fantastic.
Thanks, Marion and Jason. Maybe a couple more. Nora?
I just wanted to acknowledge the ministry team here. I'm so grateful for the elders, particularly Louie. This past year, you have exemplified to me what it means to walk in faith and some harder times. And so I want the leadership team to know that Harold and I spend time praying specifically for the different ministries, for the youth, and for the children. And I'm so grateful to be part of this body. I feel at home here, and I'm thankful for God's word. And I'm so grateful that He leads us sometimes through really hard times, but there's always a light there, and I'm so grateful for this body.
My name's Mark, and I'm married to Rhoda, and if Randy and Debbie get two for one, we do as well. As I reflect back on this past year, if I was standing here a year ago, I just have come to realize how much happened that I had no idea was going to happen. And some things I was anticipating, I know I was facing a year ago, significant Christian ministry leadership, which I was called to and was going to really be stretched and rely on God for, and He did that. But beyond that, a lot of other things that happened at work, in our family, in Christian community, there was significant heartbreak and disappointment and grief, and yet looking how God is working and answering in all of those situations, and just His presence in everything, and that we can just trust Him and rely on Him, and He's working in what can appear to be very negative, but He's working in those people's lives and making good out of that. And so I look forward to more of the same this coming year. I know most of what is going to happen this year, we have no idea, but I know He's going to be there.
That's a great reminder. Sir, one more. Last chance.
Good morning. My name is Osborne. Sometimes I'm very hesitated to do things that the Lord has talked to me about. Just as I was leaving here last year, I'm making a left turn. I wish I didn't like to make a left turn, but I heard a whispering voice, don't make it, but I still do it. And I pay dearly for it. My insurance goes up. That insurance I was with canceled my out on December gone, so I have to look in a new insurance to keep carrying me along. But I keep on pressing onward because I don't give up. I never give up. In the present, closely, I'm finding myself reading in Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And recently, I found myself in James. And James is a very beautiful book. I wish all my members here and friends to read James, because James gives us a lot of insight in life and tell us what we have done and how we do it. He even gave us a word to say, let us nay be nay, and we are yea be yea. And I wish we look at that book and study it some more and continue to use it in our daily life. In Jesus' name we ask it all. Thank you.
Yeah. Sorry. I said one.
My name is Rayleigh, and I'm really thankful that 2019 was a big year of emotional growth for me. At the beginning of the year, I was in a really dark time emotionally, and I was able to come out of that. And then on that, I'm really thankful for the support that I've gotten here, especially from the youth group, from all the youth mentors and everyone that's just involved in that. And they've just really supported me and helped me in everything that I've come through, and they've just really directed me and where I'm going past that.
Thanks. Well, let me pray. We're going to have just a short teaching time after this, so don't worry, we're not like here till noon. But I think it's just appropriate to thank God for all of these things. And I'm going to post all these online without the names. So if in the coming weeks you need some encouragement, you need to look at some real life situations of people you know, you may not know, but you've at least heard from their mouth some of the ways that God has been working, I think that's a huge encouragement. Would you pray with me? Father, thanks that you know what's coming next. You know what's happened in the past, and you know what's in our hearts now. And God, in each situation, we may not be able to see you clearly. We may not be able to see the path ahead, but we know that you're there. Thanks for so many reminders of our need for you, of our need to reach out for you, of our the blessing of having church community and having people we can get to know who are you following you to, who we can walk alongside. We can bear their burdens. They can bear ours. Father, we do pray for all of these health, relational, emotional, financial issues that have been addressed even in the middle of Thanksgiving. And God, I ask that you would come through and bring blessing where there should be pain. Father, we pray for healing and anointing and continued leading as we walk, keeping in step as we've been reminded this morning with your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in just the next few minutes, I want to share with you one phrase and two questions. So one phrase and two questions as we head into 2020. So for us to understand the phrase, there's actually a question underneath that I actually didn't realize that I was asking in my heart. And I've been doing lots of reading and preparation for the new year and podcasting and praying and conversation, all sorts of stuff. Really excited about what's coming up starting in January, even next week, Anniversary Sunday and Encountering God and all that stuff. But I didn't realize that this question was beneath it all. And it's on the screen there. What's most important?
And what I realize is that in my reading, in my study, in my prayer, for me as a man and a husband and as dad and a pastor and a friend, all of these things, that's the question that was underneath all my searching. What is the most important thing I can be doing to be who God has called me to be and do what he's planned for me to do? What's the most important thing for our home, for our family, for our church family, so that we can be who God has called us to be? And what are the most important things for us to do so that we're doing what God has called us to do? And so I'm so thankful to hear from all of you how God's been working in your heart, working in your home, working in your life, and working through our church. And the answer to that question is where we get our phrase this morning. And it's really not a difficult answer to understand. It's a Sunday school superstar answer. You get a gold star for getting it right. It's not a hard answer to get. It's very actually simple. But it's really, really difficult to live out. And it's just simply this: prayer and fasting. What's the most important thing for us to be doing? It's prayer and fasting. Why? Because beneath the lives of men and women that we see in the Bible, men and women who've gone before us throughout history, we have some of their stories, some of them published, some of them we just know because they're people we know, and for people who are living now, where we look at them and we think, man, they're following Jesus well. We see these two things. We see prayer and fasting as a foundation. Underneath the character and all of the work that God has done on their lives to get from being this person when they found Jesus to this person when they died, there is a foundation of prayer and fasting. Underneath the people who I think most personify someone who is living out of their identity in Christ. So not living from their own strength, their own power, what they want for themselves, but living out of who God has called them to be and what God has given them to do, this identity in Christ is this foundation of prayer and fasting. So if this kind of root question, what's most important for us to do and be, and the phrase, the answer is prayer and fasting, it led me to two other questions that I think are really important. They're both taken from different pieces of Scripture. You want to know the questions? I'm sure you have some questions. But for me, there are two questions that came up right away. What if it's true? What if it's true? And this question comes out of James. Thank you, Osborne. So we're spending a bit of time in James. So if you're not familiar with James, James is a half-brother of Jesus. We don't hear anything about him really in the Gospels at all. He doesn't come up. It doesn't seem like he's a follower of his half-brother. He doesn't seem to believe that his brother is, you know, the Messiah, is the Son of God. We don't know that specifically, but because he's not there, and we have this interaction of Jesus' mother and half-brothers who come and try and tell him to stop saying what he's saying and come away and stop doing these things, James is probably amongst them. But once Jesus rises again, James places his faith in his half-brother, being the Son of God, and he becomes a church leader in the early church. And when he's an older man, he writes a letter to a church, and we have that recorded in the New Testament, and it's called James. And now what I think is important about this letter and where we get this question is the reality that we all share something in common this morning. All of us have things in our life today, regardless of whether you're feeling great and you know things seem to be going well, or you're really at a low point. All of us have some things in our lives where we need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough. Some of us have questions, doubts, disappointments. We've got stuff in our families or in our history or in our past. We've got stuff in our character. We've got stuff at work. We've got stuff in our finances. We've got stuff spiritually that we just need a breakthrough. We just desperately need God to do something because we've been trying so hard, or we've been waiting, or we've been defeated by something, and we need a breakthrough. And that's where this question comes from. What if it's true? So James chapter 4 says this, and it's interesting. In my Bible, I have the heading, Drawing Close to God. Now, when James wrote this letter, it didn't have headings. There were no chapters, no verses. Scholars have done that for us so that we can find different concepts and paragraphs and words so that through chapters and verses. And they put headings on things so we can get a quick flyover of what this author might be talking about. Inspired by the Holy Spirit, written through the voice and person of the people writing. It's fully God, and it's in the voice and person of James. And he writes this letter. And this part is about drawing near to God. And it's interesting where he starts. Look at this. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war and take it away from them. So if we zoom out a little bit and look at the overarching point that he's making is there are some things in our lives that we want. We see it in others, and oftentimes we rely upon ourselves. We do our own thing. We use our own strength, our own methods to get what we want. Some of those things are good things. Some of those things are bad things. But we often rely upon ourselves to get what we want. Now, God has placed desires in our hearts, and that's why we have this longing for some breakthrough. We have longing to see things change in our life that aren't right. And sometimes we go about it on our own. Maybe we're not fighting and quarreling with one another, but if we're relying on our own strength, it's not going to happen. And then he says, yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. What if it's true? What if it's true that we don't have what we want and what we need and these breakthroughs and these things because we just simply, plainly haven't asked God for it? Or we haven't continued to ask God. And even when you do ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. I don't know about you, but I can resonate with that. There are things in my life where I'm like, man, I've not really gone to God about this. I'm trying to do it all in my own strength. In fact, New Year's resolutions are usually about that. What on earth can I do different now in my own strength to make things better? And within a week or 2 weeks or 3 months, or man, some of you are like 6, 7 monthers, it falls apart. You get sick, something happens. You lose passion, you lose desire, something changes outside your control. And the reality that we come to all along is that most of life is outside our control. Mark said it well, don't know what the next year is going to hold. What if it's true that breakthrough and things that should be happening more in our church and more in our lives and more in our hearts, the things that God has for us to do, the ways that we're to be, what if it's true that they're not happening because we're just simply not asking? Prayer. What is prayer for? Is it about asking? Is it about a laundry list of things, just going to God and saying, here, I'm going to keep listening? No. I think prayer primarily is about two things, dependence and transformation. Prayer primarily is about dependence and transformation. God can do whatever he wants, and if he already knows what you need before you ask, why on earth doesn't he just do it? Why do we struggle? Why do we have all this trouble? Why doesn't he just do it? Because his plan is all about presence. His plan is to work in us, to work through us. And as he works in us, he will work through us. And some of these breakthroughs and some of the things we're waiting to happen, he's actually just waiting for us to come and be in his presence. Because when we spend a lot of time in his presence, we become dependent on Jesus and not ourselves. And when we spend a lot of time in his presence, we become transformed. Not because he hasn't already changed the hearts of those who've decided to follow Jesus, but because we don't yet know how to live what he's already worked out. We already have identity in Christ. We're already fully saved. We're already set free. We're already clean. We're just not necessarily living it. And so Jesus said, when his disciples said, teach us to pray. What do we do? How do we pray? We see you praying all the time. How do we do it? And Jesus said very simply, go into a room by yourself, lock the door, get on your knees and pray. It's only about you and God. And don't babble on and on like the pagans do, thinking that if you have the right prayers or the right words or the best upstanding things, it's not about righteousness, perfection, such a good word. It's about right standing with me, and you already are. So you just pray like this. And then he gave us this model for prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today what we need. Forgive me as I forgive others. Don't lead me into temptation because I want to live on earth as if it's in heaven, because yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory forever and ever. Amen. He said, this is a simple prayer. Follow this pattern. Prayer is about presence. And so, if what's most important is prayer and fasting, and if this question is true, what if it's true that we don't have what we want and what we need because we don't ask, then we should be asking. And that leads to our second question, very simple question. If Jesus did it, why don't we? Okay, if Jesus did it, why don't we? If you look at the beginning of the book of Matthew chapter 4, we find this interesting scene. Where Jesus, such interesting words, have to save some of this for another message, but then Jesus was led by who? by the Spirit, that's interesting, by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be what? To be tempted by the devil. So James makes it clear that God doesn't do tempting, God doesn't tempt us, but he does put us in situations where there's suffering, temptation, and trial, so that we learn dependence on him, so we become strong in him. And so the Spirit leads God's Son into the wilderness to be tempted there by the devil. For 40 days and 40 nights, what did he do? He fasted, and he became very hungry. I don't think that word hungry talks about his physical hunger. Later on, Jesus says, blessed are you if you hunger and thirst for righteousness. What prayer and fasting do is they help us learn dependence on Jesus. They help us become who God has already made us to be. It helps us live a transformed life, and it creates hunger in us for the deep things of God. And so sometimes in our lives, we don't have breakthrough. We don't see God doing the things that need to be done, that we want done, because we're not spending time with him. Now, usually when we hear, and I know I do this too, when I hear sermons on prayer, when I hear others talking about prayer and fasting, I feel instantly guilty. But Jesus' teaching on prayer is not about guilt, it's about opportunity. He said, just simply come. And so this morning it's very simple what I want for us to, the application, okay? Prayer and fasting is most important. That's the point. Prayer and fasting are most important. That's it. What's most important? Prayer and fasting. So how do we pray and fast? Well, that's a learning curve. That's for another day. And throughout the rest of this month, beginning next week, we're going to get more and more specific about how we draw deep into Jesus, how we pray, how we fast. In fact, the end of the month, we're having a week of fasting, a few days of food fasting for those who can. And then we're going to encourage you as a household to fast from some things. And we'll be going through what that is and specifics about what you can plan to do, what we're specifically praying for as a church. We're going to work that out week after week as we go into Anniversary Sunday next week and then into Encountering God. You'll have opportunity in teaching times on Sunday to have some of that. In our prayer gathering, we'll gather together to learn to pray. We meet Sunday mornings at 9:20. Anybody who wants to come in here for very simple prayer, because we need to pray and we need to learn to pray. I don't know how to pray as I ought. Most of us don't know how to pray as we ought. Jesus doesn't invite those who are spiritually mature and have it together. Those who thought they were spiritually mature and had it together were called Pharisees, and he rebuked them regularly. Prayer and fasting are for those who know they don't have it together and those who are what? Thankful. And so we spend time in his presence. And then as part of the teaching, we'll have small groups. We'll do some practical things that launch off our Sunday morning teaching. And if you want a little bit deeper, some extra teaching and some extra practice, that's what the seminar is. 3 weeks of practice. And we're combining a bunch of things. We heard about the Hearing God seminar. We're not doing that, at least this spring. We're doing some of that here on Sundays and some of that in small groups and some of that in seminars, as well as a few other things that we think are very important for us as a congregation right now. So how do you get started? What do I want? What I want for you is, if you're not praying and you're not fasting, to begin. Just simply begin. Do you know that anyone we look at, and I talked about this foundation of prayer and fasting underneath the lives of those that I look to and I think, man, they've got it together. They really know how to follow Jesus. Everyone starts at the same place. We have no idea what we're doing, and we start from a place of dependence. And the more time we spend with God, even though we're growing in spiritual maturity, what's really growing is transformation to become more like Jesus and dependence on Jesus. The more you get in God's presence, the more you realize you don't have it together at all, and the more you want. That's the way it works. And so if you're not praying, you're not fasting, my desire this morning is that you would start. Simply, humbly, somehow, anyhow. If you are praying and you have fasted before, my desire is that you would do it more regularly. So those two are kind of a quantity thing, right? So if you're not doing it at all, you'd add some in. If you're doing a little bit, you get consistent, because it's good for you, it's good for our church, it's good for the world. Remember, God can do anything he wants like that, but he chooses not to without us. He asks us to come to him, and when we get in his presence, he works in us, and then he works through us. And if you are consistently praying, and if you have fasted in the past or you regularly fast, then I want you to consider a quantity change, or a quality change, sorry. Maybe God is drawing you deeper into some deeper waters and some deeper things. And so in order to do that, there's three things I want to challenge you to do this morning. Plan, ask, and step. Okay, plan ahead. If you don't plan, you won't do anything, so plan. So this morning you'll have opportunity to plan. Just pray with God, what could I plan to do in the next few weeks? To pray and fast a little bit more, to get in your presence more. Secondly, ask. Ask for God's strength. Goodness sakes, if we just make a plan and say, I'm going to go about and do this, how much will you fail? A lot. And how discouraged will you be? A lot. But if you ask for God's strength, he's going to enable you to do those things. And when you fail and when you fall, and you will, you just pick yourself back up and ask for strength again. That's it. There's no guilt. There's no shame. God is just delighted to have you in his presence. He welcomes you boldly. Why? Because we're his. And so I want you to plan, I want you to ask, and then I want you to step out in faith. Because a plan without action is just dreams. God gives us dreams, he gives us visions, but he works in us to work through us. And so as we close this morning, we're going to watch and listen to a song. And you can read the words or you can close your eyes. It's a song that I find incredibly encouraging for my prayer life. It just frames things in a way that I get. I hope you get it too. I hope it's inspiring to you. But during this time, during the next 4 minutes or so, I want you to take time and in the quiet of your heart, plan, ask, and step. So make a plan, ask for strength, and then actually do it. Today, tomorrow, this week. Do some things. And as we go over the next number of weeks, we're going to become more and more specific to help you. But in general, I want to challenge you to get your hearts there so that you are more in proximity, more in the presence of God, so that we gain and grow in our dependence and in our transformation. Watch this.
It's a sound I love to hear. It's the sound of the Savior's robe as he walks into the room where people pray. Will he hear praises? He hears faith. It's the sound I love to hear. It's the sound of the Savior's robe as he walks into the room where people pray. Where we hear worship, he hears faith. Aloud, sing his praise aloud. Oh, awake my soul and sing, sing his praise aloud, sing his praise aloud. The sound that changes things, the sound of his people on their knees. Oh, wake up, you.
So what's most important? Prayer and fasting. What if it's true, then we are invited into God's presence. Some of you and where you're at, you're waiting for breakthrough, and he's just waiting for you to come without guilt, without shame, whether you've prayed a million times before and have walked away, or you've never said a word to God before. He invites you just to come. And if Jesus did it, then why aren't we? Well, I think sometimes we're lazy. Sometimes we're afraid. Sometimes we don't want to give up control because we're afraid, what would God do with my life if I actually gave it over to him? Well, good things. I promise you that. We've heard that all this morning. If you want to listen to that song, it's Awake My Soul, Hillsong Worship. My desire for you this morning is that you would wake up to the reality that the most important thing for you to do this year is prayer and fasting. And we're going to walk through a journey over the next number of weeks to help you do that. But this morning, may your heart wake up to that reality. May you plan to spend extra time with God. May you ask for his strength and sense it. And may you step out in faith and see him do things that you've never seen him do in and through you before. Would you stand with me as we pray? Father God, thanks so much for all the Thanksgiving this morning. Thanks for our worship, our words of thanksgiving. Thanks for the greeting time we've been able to have with one another. Father, I pray for those who are newer to Country Hills. I ask that you would help each and every person feel at home and have a sense of community, find belonging and family here. Through ministries and small groups and relationships, and as we walk through this year with you, Father, we pray that we would see you do more in and through us than we could ever ask or imagine. That we wouldn't be blown away by our plans. We wouldn't be impressed by how we can see things through or do things in our own strength and abilities, which we have lots. But we would just be awestruck by how you've gone far beyond that. By the way you've brought breakthrough in our lives, brought us close to you, and by that sheer number of people who make new decisions to follow you this year through our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for being here this morning. If you're able to stay for coffee and visit, that'd be great. If you can stack chairs, that'd be wonderful too. We'll see you next week. Lord bless you as you go. Oh, we're keeping the chairs. Leave them up. Leave the chairs up. Bad information.
It's the sound of the Savior's robe as he walks into the room where people pray, where we hear praises, he hears faith.
I just want to say that I was right. The chairs do have to be taken down and stacked. Sorry about that, but I was right. The sound.
these things, this I